The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idly all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' Now when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired at about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Today, the lessons are all about the typical, normal human identity and the generosity of God. The psalmist this morning is reminding the people of God that no matter where they are or what's happening in their lives right now, they need to remember how generous God has been. And so he takes them through that whole episode of the Exodus of the people from Egypt. He reminds them that although they were slaves there in the Egyptian care, when they left, the Egyptians gave them gold and silver jewelry. They took it from around their necks and off their ears and handed it to the Hebrew people as they were leaving. They were so glad to get rid of them. And so they were led out of the land of Egypt. God was generous in his leading, and he even opened the Red Sea so that they could cross on foot. And then the Red Sea came back together again, and the Egyptians were kept from pursuing them. And then, as if that weren't enough, God led them to Mount Sinai. And there on Mount Sinai, he gave them the law by which they could live, and live freely. And so after all that had happened to them, what did they do? They complained. God was not generous enough. He needed to be more generous. After all, he could have killed us when we were in Egypt. And then we would have been eating and drinking and having a good time, even though we were slaves. And then all of a sudden it would be over. But he led us out here into the middle of the wilderness, and now we want food. Moses and Aaron remind them that it was the Lord's doing and his generosity that brought them here, not Moses and Aaron. But that didn't seem to make a great deal of difference. They wanted more now. Now that's kind of a normal human response, isn't it? When you live with generosity, you want more generosity. Well, God gave them more. He flooded their camp with quail in the evening, and then in the morning, they woke up and they saw this stuff on the ground, and they said, "What is it?" And hence the second pun in the whole of the Old Testament. The first was God's response to Abraham's question, or to Moses' question, "Who do I say you are?" And he says, "Tell them I am." That was number one. Now number two, manna means, what is it? So they're fed there in the wilderness. And the psalmist reminds us that that's not the end of the whole story. They're then watered from the stony rock. All of this is the generosity of God. The gospel accounts that generosity as well. Keep in mind that by the time Matthew is writing down the gospel, there is already persecution against Christians. And so, the Christians who have borne that persecution all the way through somehow felt that they were in better shape than the people who only bore a little bit of the persecution. And so they ought to receive a better reward than the ones who were just starting. The longer you suffer, the more your reward should be. But the question for the early church and for us today is, what more is there than eternal life? That's the most generous thing that God could ever do for us. Paul reminds us of that in the epistle to the Philippians. He says, "You know, I've got a choice to make. I can either die and go to the Lord, which means that I now have fully the promise of God and his generosity to me. Or I can hang around here in this tired body and say, you know, there's so much that can be done here among the Philippians, among those in Asia Minor, among those in Greece. All of this territory into which Paul has poured his life's work. And so he decides, I'll wait on going to the Lord so that he can be there for the people whose churches he has served for so many years." Paul makes that decision with the full knowledge that even in the midst of persecution, there is much for which to be thankful. For it leads to eternal life. That faith which has filled their hearts and souls, that has brought to them the promise of God's greatest gift of generosity, is more than enough to cover all the problems that they might encounter. And so it is with us. That promise of God's generosity in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds, is filled with hope of eternal life with God, with Christ, and with each other, so that our being here as a church congregation does not end with the death of one or more or even all of our congregation. It simply continues forever. I once had a deacon candidate come to me in a church that I was serving, and her task for that day was go sit in the church when it's empty and tell me what you experience. And the idea behind the question was, it's empty. The church has nothing to do with the building, it's the people. And that's a good expression, but it's only part of the expression. I went in after she had sat there for an hour and said, "What did you discover?" And she said, "I discovered that I wasn't alone. That I was surrounded by people I had never even met. People who had died long before I came to this place. People who were yet to come to this place. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the generosity of God. That we are a brotherhood, a sisterhood of all who believe, of all whom God creates. You and I are the receivers of the most generous gift we could ever have. And the only question is, what are you going to make of it?" Amen.